Whatever he did.
All right, you ready, Charmaine? All right. Budget and Finance Committee meeting is in order. Let's see. First, we'll have Treasurer Sampson give us a financial update here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
All on?
I think so.
Okay. We can go kind of, this is the end of the year stuff, so we can kind of go in depth if you want. But I'm going to kind of brief as much as I can. Get with me to the summary statements for Form Court. County General Fund 1,000, $4,891,285.65. County Road Fund 2,000, $5,401,839.91. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $4,052,597.27. Town Warfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,529,679.29. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407, $2,751,366.96. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $744,417.35. Animal Rescue Plan, American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $19,521,331.39. If you'll look with me on this first page, on the far right, is net income. We typically don't do net income on month to month, but being year end, we want to take a real little look at this. Net income for County General for the year was -$47,104.67. This will not be, we'll still have, this is year to year on a cash basis. This is not really against the budget, but that shows us kind of where we are against our expenses and revenues. The ending balance for County General, I think we projected that at $5 million for the carryover. It's not going to be $5 million, as you see there. What happened is our revenue, and I'm going to show you on the next page here, but our revenue didn't come in as anticipated in December, and our expenditures were up. If you look down at the bottom section, expenditures for County General percent used 94.61%. That's about 3% higher than a normal year. And that's where we're going to be on our misses, and that's explaining those. Turning to page 2. As you can see, we cleared $14 million in County General revenue, but we did not continue the same trend that we had anticipated. You can see just a little bit of downturn trend there. Still trending up, but just not the same pace we had been over the last few months. Page 3 is the sales tax. Sales tax for December was $1,168,353.15. That's up 13.69% above December of 22. And we ended the year 4.77% above 22 numbers. Page 4, total sales tax collection, $13,915,332.58. That's 107% of projected. We almost broke the $14 million mark in sales tax revenue as well. Page 5, that's our chart. As you can see, we're continuing to trend up with 3-month moving average, still quite a bit above the 1-year moving average and the 1-year moving average trending up as well. Sales tax looked really good. We're just talking about what the big take out of the year. In a year in which we anticipated sales tax to be flat, we're up here at 5%. That's a pretty big number. I'm a little disappointed with the year end on the kind of general stuff, but that's just about it. Like I said, expenditures were up a little bit in December. We didn't quite get the revenue in December that we anticipated. Don't say that. And we're going to miss projection by a couple $100,000. That's really not bad when you're talking about $14 million. So, are there any questions on any of that?
Appreciate the report, Treasurer. Is there anything that $200,000 impacts? Oh, like the
relationship. I haven't dug that deep into it yet. I don't know where the shortfall is, where we're anticipating. I'll have you something by next month for sure. And we're still going to continue. We'll still talk about full year end in March when we get all the period 13 expenditure spend and things like that. So this is not it's not complete, but it is complete on the revenue side. It's not complete on the expenditure side. But, like I said, as far as what revenue code or what revenue source, whether it be taxes or fees or whatever, I've not got that meeting with the government. We're short. But I think it's just like I said, a combination of, on the ending balance, a combination of expenditure and revenue shortfall expenditure over what we expected. And not that if we overspent, because we were still within budget, as you can see. But just so when we get down and kind of really finite and tight, project these things sometimes.
Scott, can you tell me the equation for your net income column over here?
Okay, so if I just take my revenue, just take all those middle columns, essentially.
Okay.
Okay. If you take your revenue, less your expenses, plus your transfers in, less your transfers out, less your creditors' commissions, you should come up with that number.
Okay.
And I guess you could do it beginning balance and ending balance as well. And if it's not dead on, it ought to be.
So this means like in the county general line item, we lost money.
47,000. Yeah. We spent 47,000 more than we get. Now, once again, this is cash basis. So some of those expenses, and we've talked about this before. So expenses against the budget are down here on this bottom section, and you see that they're less than expenses, overall expenses. So some of those expenses in the year are from last year's budget.
Okay.
2013 expenses. But it's easier for me to track it January 1st to December 31st because we're going to have some period 13 expenditures in 24 against this budget, which will kind of make it may not be exactly the same. But this way we can track it better.
Okay.
If you're really talking about revenue versus the budget, we'll know that number better in March.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at
go ahead.
Just looking at the bottom section here, balance of unspent appropriation. So that's we appropriated however much, and that's different than amount not appropriated because of amount not appropriated, we've intentionally set some of that.
Right, right. And intentionally, unintentionally, that means that the amount not appropriated is funds that are out there available to appropriate.
Yeah.
They're not going to appropriate. When you see balance of unspent appropriation, that means the expenditures are that much less than what was appropriated.
Perfect. Anyone else have any questions?
And I think, one thing we probably want to talk about a little bit is going through 2024 is sales tax revenue. We projected sales tax revenue to stay at $13 million again for 2024. After seeing these numbers, we can talk about projecting that up a little bit if somebody needs criminal justice needs the money. I don't know where they're sitting as far as how tight they are against their budget, but we can project that up to about $13.5 million if we want to make a little adjustment for 2024.
And I know you have pretty conservative. I know your projections are always pretty conservative.
When it comes to sales tax, I'm very conservative.
Yeah.
Because criminal justice sales tax, that is their only revenue source. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they have some interest in a few other little things, but essentially, that's the revenue source. So if we miss on the bottom side of that, they're in real trouble.
Yeah.
And that's why you'll see us. We should be beating our projection on sales tax every year. If we're not, I'm not doing a good job at it. We stayed flat last year, kind of projecting. Hey, we've had all these increases. We've got to have a downturn at some point. We just didn't see it again this year. Whether some of it that's inflation, yeah, probably a little bit still inflationary stuff, but. We went ahead and stayed flat for 2024, but I think we can go up another $500,000 on that and be fine, and project $13.5 million for 2024 if we need to. If the sheriff's office doesn't need it or the county or the road doesn't need it, there's no need in increasing that. But I am willing to do that if you're one of those departments and need extra funding for us. We should make that number.
Perfect. Committee members, do you have any more questions for Treasurer Kent? All right. Awesome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, sir. All right. On to new business. Let's see. Do we have a motion for proposed ordinance 24-01?
Make a motion. We put proposed ordinance 24-01 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second for 24-01. And I really think this is mainly just some kind of cleanup stuff for the end of last year. No maintenance, had some stuff to move around from one fund to the other, or from one line item to the other.
That's IT.
IT, sorry. I don't know what. Yes, IT.
It's all cleanup just to help them be able to pay the bills that they've already incurred for 2023. So this still applies to the 2023 budget, not this year's budget.
And just to point that out, as you can see, like in the very first paragraph of the ordinance, it says to amend and supplement Palmer County Ordinance 22-63. So that was the 2022 budget ordinance. Any questions on 24-01? All in favor of passing this on to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Awesome. Passed your first ordinance of 2021 out of this committee. All right. The next thing I know we want to talk about, I got two things just to kind of, well, there's no ordinances attached to it. It's just we know it's coming. One is, if you will remember, we passed a grant. We passed some sort of funding for a grant to fund a position, a peer support specialist in the courts under Judge Clausen. And so something happened in the budget process. I think next week we'll probably have a committee meeting before full court next week to look at that ordinance to fund that appropriately. It's something that we've all agreed upon. It's just funding it for 2024. There were some things with all the puzzle pieces weren't laying where they were supposed to for it to happen tonight. So we'll just get it done then. And they have already hired someone for that position. So, yeah, no pressure. Yes, sir.
As you said, that grant money's there. If it was coming last year. But I think the issue is how much can be in salary, how much needs to be in matching, and things like that, putting those numbers together. We felt better about it. I didn't think better. But people smarter than me felt better way to week on to make sure the numbers were right.
That's it. So that's just kind of the mechanics of that, not a huge deal. The other thing that's been simmering on the edges of the committee is there's a counseling program, a mental health counseling. So from what I understand, the legislature last year passed, and it's our favorite thing for them to do, is to pass unfunded mandates on down to counties. But it's a good one that we provide for, I'm going to get some part of this wrong, crisis intervention counseling for either law enforcement or first responders, one or the other.
First responders.
And so I understand that as we were looking into this, we found a deal where we can really provide that type of counseling to all county employees in the whole county for like less than what we were, another plan we were looking at just to provide it for our first responders. So that's out there. There's no hard ordinance right now for that. I think the price came in a little under $15,000 for that for all of our county employees. So that's something we'll look at either next week at our meeting or next month, depending on if everyone can get the pieces appropriately put together on that ordinance. Do you have any other notes on that last one?
I know Captain Hillman is here and has some more information for us on that. And if you don't mind, if we go ahead and bring her forward and let her kind of explain things a little bit more, and then that way we can kind of look things over and see what we think from there.
Captain Hillman, thanks you for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me. I do have some information for you guys that I will pass out to you to help you with all this.
This is the deal that we were referring to. Sorry, you get a copy of that. There you go. Now I've got extras. I don't know if anybody wants one. Just hand them all to you. They're waiting. Yes.
So that's the bill that you're referring to. And the part that we're going to talk about specifically is on, it starts kind of on the second page, but it's mostly on the third page. And basically what it says is that public employer, but employees of public safety employees shall provide coverage for licensed counseling for a public safety employee who experiences a traumatic event while in the course of duty. So fortunately, last year, we had already talked about this, and Randy and Mary got together, and we kind of did a preemptive strike, and so we were able to start offering these services last year. Since July the 18th, more than 30 people have received services, and those numbers continue to grow daily. And as of November, we have paid, let's see what my number is, I think we have 9,000 left out of that 22,000. So the money's been well spent, and I can assure you that these services are literally saving lives. And so I can't imagine money being better spent. Saving lives, saving careers, saving families. It's amazing to see this come about. So I appreciate you all so much for providing us with that grant last year. Something that's come up, so this new law has come up. It says of January 1st that these services have to be provided by the county. Something to help do that is an employee assistance program, which most larger counties, municipalities, and corporations already have. This is called SWEEP. It's Southwest Employee Assistance Program. This is a locally owned business. A lot of corporations use EAPs that are nationwide and are larger. This one's actually locally owned, and it provides every single county employee, including part-time employees, and their immediate family members with services. It is $2.44 per employee per month. So depending on how many employees we had at that time, that's what the fee would be. And this is just a solution to the county's, I don't want to say problem, but statutory obligation as far as that goes, January 1st. And I have a copy of that for you guys as well. This will show you all of the services that SWEEP offers. So it's not just counseling as far as parenting, marital, individual, but it also has addiction services, financial services, attorney, some attorney advice, it's a ton of resources on their website, as far as power of attorney, last will and testament, those sorts of things. They provide those services as well. And so, like I said, this is going to solve the problem with the statutory obligation for first responders, but this is going to service every single county employee, and it's going to be for half the cost that we were looking at for just 1 year last year. So,
a question.
Yes.
Just looking at what you handed out here, it says sessions available. It says an 8-session model is what this says.
Okay. And
the bill says allow for up to 12 licensed counseling visits per calendar year.
It's almost like I planted you. Thank you for asking that question. So I have an addendum here that's from SWEEP that talks about that, because that change actually came up last year by August that they made that change from the 8 sessions. So the 8-session model typically will cover a critical incident. However, if there are additional that need to be, if they need to see someone up to 12, then the fee is $125 an hour. We have the funds still in our EAP money that was, or I'm sorry, our ARP money that was granted to us last year. We still have funds left in that. And then they have an addendum as far as how to proceed with that as well. So does that answer your question?
So any visits outside the 8 would probably require, would it require more money? Because you're saying y'all got that on y'all's end.
Yes.
But it would be more than the 13,000 some odd.
No, it does not add
It's $125 an hour if we had to go over.
Okay.
We do have that money left in that fund.
Okay.
We should have that money left in that fund. But I will tell you that statistically what we've seen as far as people being treated over the last, well, it's not just over the last, what we pay for this, but what I've experienced over the last several years is about 3 is the average after a critical incident, but sufficient, typically. Is that number per employee for the 12 months? That's how many sessions they can have, or is it per incident?
Per incident.
So, okay. Yes. Thank so you. Up to 8 visits per critical incident.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what deems it critical? Well, for us, that's what the statutory says. For employees, they can see for anything. So if somebody needs to go see somebody for counseling for marriage, then they can do it for 8 visits. Now, after that, if they need extended visits, then they set them up through insurance or whatever else they need to. And then that's up to the employee how they're going to pay for that. If it's a critical incident with the responder, then we'll be responsible for that. Does that make sense?
I have the definition of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's the extraordinary traumatic bodily injury or death of a person, the serious injury, death, abuse, or exploitation of a minor, an immediate threat to the life of an individual or another person, or a mass casualty event. So most of our deputies probably have about 15 traumatic events annually that they experience. Yeah.
Yes, realistically. But to answer your question, there's really 2 parts of that. So if it's just an employee issue, a personal issue, marriage counseling, parenting, that kind of thing, it's 8 visits per incident. And it doesn't have to be critical. The critical incident portion of that they get up to 12, falls under that.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yes.
So I have a question for you, Captain. So
yes.
Do they get to choose their own counselor as long as it's in-network, I suppose?
So they can pick whomever they want to see as far as the statute goes. As far as the EAP, what they do is they call EAP and they say, I need to see somebody in reference to, and if it's a critical incident, then they already have a great deal of vetted therapists that see specifically responders, because that's a whole other thing. So if they go through EAP, EAP assigns them to somebody. If they're already seeing somebody that EAP covers, they will send them back to that person. So those are 2 different. Every question I feel like is going to have 2 different answers. If we're talking about the critical incident portion of it, they can see anybody they want. We have to pay for it.
I just asked that question because the wording of the billing just says as long as they have basically a degree and if they're a mental health professional. So I just was wondering.
So, yes, so the critical incident portion per that statute, they can see whomever they want to, and the county would be responsible for that.
We would encourage them to use SWEEP.
We would absolutely.
They don't have
They do not. And the reason we would encourage them to do so is because we know that they do have a great deal of therapists that are culturally competent to see first responders. And we would highly encourage that because typically a responder seeing somebody that's not specially trained actually causes more harm than good for both the responder and the therapist, honestly.
Do we... how are these services being covered today?
So how are we covering them for
the statutory requirement?
We still have money left in the ARP fund.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does the sheriff's office or the judge's office sign a contract, have to put out an RFP, a bid process? Y'all may could speak to that before choosing a provider, an EAP provider? You know anything about that?
That's
that
right.
Might be a judge's office
that's
question.
That's a bone on my case,
yeah. Okay.
it's beneath our ordinance requirements.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Because I think it comes out to maybe 11,000 with the amount of people that I've been given some different numbers. So I think the most it came out to was 13.
Have you or anyone from the sheriff's office worked with the judge's office possibly for... our county clerk to determine a funding like, where is this going to come, you know, where is the money going to come from? Have y'all discussed that at all?
So that's a great question for probably somebody else, because I'm basically the gift-giver. I'm like, hey, guess what? I know the statute's coming, and I have this gift, you know, this EAP gift for you. As far as the funding goes, I'm...
That's okay. A
great question.
Okay. Copy that. I guess that'll be worked out when someone drafts an ordinance.
Yes, and yeah. That has been discussed, what some of our options are, whether, you know, the Sheriff's Department can maybe pay for their part of the employees, and then the county can find, you know, that amount of money for their part of the employees, or if all of it can come out of County General or part of the carryover, you know, however that would work. But it seems to be so much more cost-effective. Because if I understand right, we have $9,000 left.
$9,000.
And based on the way that has been, that money has been used so far to meet that statute, that would not last us very long into this, into 2024.
That's correct, because I have not received December's invoices yet from any counseling. So I don't know how much that's going to be.
Do you remember when we initially appropriated that and how much that was? I felt like it was like
$22,500.
But that was later in the year, wasn't it?
July 18th.
July, okay.
So more money will have to be found to continue that, either the way that we did, because the ILP money would be gone.
So is that $14,000 spent from July to till November?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to find some more.
It's the best money I've spent.
Does the committee have any more questions on this topic?
I do. One of the things that has been very concerning to me since I've taken office is the turnover rate in the Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you feel that this money and this program, benefit package, whatever, would help that turnover to some degree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would it help officer retention?
Yes, I think both parts do. Number one, I think us being able to treat deputies for any kind of critical incident that's happened, that's carryover, which happens, has been huge. I mean, I wish I could bring them all in here and for you to see the difference in these people. So that's huge. And that helps with them staying, because a lot of times they will leave thinking that it's the job that's got them so. And then they leave and realize, that stuff's still there. That's the first part of it. But the second part of it is a lot of them need marriage counseling because of the trauma. A lot of them need parenting counseling because of the trauma. And so those are just additional benefits that can help to make home life better, and maybe spouses understand better the job and not kind of push them out of the job, that sort of thing. So I think retention is one of the biggest parts of this. In fact, our wellness unit is referred to as the wellness and retention unit because of that.
And at this point, does the ARP money that has already been funded, does it cover the detention officers as well, or is that just the deputies?
Yes, anybody that works in a critical incident area that's asked for help, we have sent them, and so some of those have been detention, some have been dispatchers, deputies, so we've covered everybody, I think.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you could put together something for the year 2023 that shows maybe terminations by month? I say terminations not as like you're fired, but any case where anyone left the sheriff's office by month. I'm not meaning to step on personnel committee's toes if I am by asking this, but like just to see, because we know we passed this in July, so
see the help.
There may not be any correlation at all. I don't know. It would just be interesting to see
the data. The computer system went down and we don't have any numbers.
Work on that too while you're in.
I need some therapy about that.
Yeah. Do y'all think you could get that information for us?
Sure. Absolutely. All
right. Awesome. That is being around. Glad you brought that up. Does anybody else have any more questions? This hasn't been drafted yet, so I would encourage the sheriff's office, the judge's office, whoever else is involved in drafting this ordinance, to work together to find a funding solution that works for everybody, and that may be equal or sharing amongst all parties.
Do any of the other justices have any ideas of where that funding should come from? What's your take on that, opinions?
You don't have to have a take.
Just curious.
And you know, it's like I said, it's a little less than $15,000. So, you know, you can, our options are open. You know, I like to have the executive branch come up with a plan, though, and present it to us, and then we'll pick it apart from there. So,
pick it apart,
like support that. It, whatever you want to do. Awesome. You have any more comments for us?
If you all do have some questions, I'm free anytime to answer those for you.
Well, I do. Since it is National Law Enforcement Day, I appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your services.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Do you have any more business before the Budget and Finance Committee? Any more questions or anything? Like I said, we will meet at 5:45 next Tuesday to at least take up Judge Clausen's ordinance. We heard from the Sheriff's Office that they do have a little bit of money to continue this through January, or for some reason we can't get the ordinance together before next Tuesday on this one as well, though. So potentially two ordinances next Tuesday, for sure one. Any questions or anything? All right. Thank you all very much. Committee adjourned.